State was just playing really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely a good win for Ohio State there. And Ohio State is playing in the Rose Bowl against Washington, I believe, correct? Yeah. How do you feel that game is gonna play out?
Just look at Washington's conference title game, and it should tell you how I think it'll play out. Because Washington won 10-3, the lowest scoring conference title game ever.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a good game. And, you know, like I told you before the show started, my grandpa is always like, you know, the Rose Bowl used to be the game. You know, that used to be the bowl to be in. And now it's just kind of, you know, it's just another bowl game.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, look at all the bowl games they just randomly add in every year.
Yeah.
They add more and more, and a lot of them with really stupid names.
Yeah. Now, to jump back into the standings, I found this thing on Twitter. It compares Oklahoma and Ohio State. Now, this is before the championship games, so it might be a little off. But Oklahoma's defense, okay, it's ranked 111th. Ohio State is 67th. Now, their offense, Ohio State's second, Oklahoma's first. Top defenses played for Oklahoma. TCU at 27th. All right, they have a 39th, a 75th, and a 98th defense ranks. Ohio State has a 1st, a 14th, a 27th, and a 36th. And then Oklahoma's best wins against number 16, West Virginia, and then against the number team ranked 23rd. Ohio State, well, you know, they played Penn State, who finished ranked 12th, and then Michigan, who at the time was ranked 2nd.
Yeah, that
so explain to me how Oklahoma finishes in the top four when they, I mean, Ohio State obviously stands better against, you know what I'm saying?
Again, I feel like it's the Big Ten does not get the respect it deserves as a conference. Everyone thinks, oh, it's the SEC. They're the number one conference. And if you look at it, no, they're not. They literally have one team that wins it all, and that's Alabama. You'll have Georgia here every now and then, LSU, Florida, like all these other teams every now and then making like little rise and lows. But you have Ohio State consistently playing well, Michigan playing consistently well, Penn State playing consistently well. Like, you have more teams in the Big Ten that play consistently well and are consistently ranked in the top 10.
Yeah.
And it's just... I think the Big Ten is just a joke conference to the committee, and I feel that Ohio State got snubbed. I'm more disappointed that they're not number five. I feel like it belonged to either Ohio State or Oklahoma to get in that four spot, but I disagree with keeping Ohio State at six because they won their conference title game. They deserve the fifth spot.
Yeah, and... you know, a lot of people are talking about how it's dumb that there's only a four team playoff. And Ty Avila sent me this thing on Twitter. It talks about the 8-team playoff rankings and having an 8-team playoff. And, you know, what it would look like right now is if we did an 8-team playoff, here's what it would look like. You'd have Alabama playing UCF. Which, if you think about that game, UCF could potentially beat Alabama.
No.
You don't think so?
No. UCF plays no one like Alabama. Alabama should have learned from what Auburn did. Because I think when UCF beat Auburn, Auburn underestimated them because of who UCF is, the conference they're from. And I feel like Alabama wouldn't make that mistake. I feel like they would play them like they're playing in like Georgia, like they're playing a game for their life. And they're playing for, and this game has high implications. So there's no Alabama wouldn't come in taking them lightly, and they are a 31-point underdog if they were to play each other.
Okay, well, second game would be Michigan against Clemson if we did an 8-team playoff.
I feel like Michigan would stack up really well against Clemson.
I really do too. I mean, Michigan, although we're Ohio State fans, I mean, Michigan had a good season and they played a lot of good teams and beat a lot of good teams. I mean, yes, they lost Ohio State.
That's just a given, though.
Yeah.
No matter how well Michigan plays, they can't play against Ohio State.
Yeah, and then you'd have Ohio State taking on Notre Dame. I feel like that'd be a really, really good game.
I feel like it would be a real test for the Ohio State defense, though.
I mean, yeah, it would be a test, but I think it'd be a good game.
I feel like Haskins has shown and proven that he deserves the top, like he could do it and will Ohio State pass Notre Dame. And if we do talk about the Heisman standings later, I do have a few things I want to say about that too.
Of course. Then you'd have Georgia taking on Oklahoma.
I feel Oklahoma would just get stomped.
You think Georgia would beat Oklahoma?
Look at Oklahoma's defense.
No, I'm like, just asking. Like, yeah.
Yeah, because Georgia has a better defense and a better offense. It is literally on Murray to will his, like Dwayne Haskins, it's on Murray to will his team to a win every week.
Yeah, and then it adds here at the bottom that, you know, the first round games would be played at home for the upper ranked team. So it'd be like a playoff game at home, which would add another standing to it. You know, that'd add a little bit of a atmosphere thing in there. So, that, I mean, that would be cool. And I don't see why they don't do this.
Because they don't want to admit their system's flawed when it obviously is. But here's my problem with it. If they do this, they're going to, the number 9 seed's going to say, oh, you snubbed us. We feel like we're better than the number 8 seed, or we feel like we're better than so and so. Like, there will never be a time where people feel like the system isn't broken, because it's obviously the people there are obviously biased.
And to talk about the Heisman rankings, you know, you have Kyle Murray from Oklahoma sitting at number 1 right now. I don't even know how to pronounce Alabama's.
Tua.
Yeah, I just know his first name, Tua, sitting at number 2, and then Dwayne Haskins at number 3. What do you think about that?
Tua doesn't deserve to be in the top 3.
You don't think so?
Who has he played besides LSU? Because if he played his worst game ever against Georgia.
Against Georgia, yeah.
And the only quality team he played, well, quality team he played was LSU.
Yeah.
He does not deserve to be in the top 3, because other than that, he's played no one.
And I don't understand how Dwayne Haskins isn't higher, because, I mean, he had 499 yards in their championship game against Northwestern.
You want me to tell you?
Tell me.
Because they say that all around Tua and Murray are better quarterbacks. They say Murray deserves it because he has to go to the side. Every time he goes to the sideline, he has to sit there and watch his defense give up touchdowns, and he has to be there to will his team back from the brink of defeat. What has Haskins done all
season? Ohio State's defense has been, I mean, generally bad. Especially after they lost Nick Bosa.
Yeah, and it's like, you're sitting here they said if it wasn't for these two quarterbacks, they'd only be talking about Haskins. You should only be talking about Haskins and Murray.
Yeah.
Like, those two quarterbacks, they have been willing their teams to a victory. I think it should be a two-horse race between those two. And if it was like that, and if people actually understood what it meant, because I feel like Haskins is getting snubbed out of the Heisman.
I think he is too.
They're saying that he'll have enough votes to go, but I feel like people should be talking and comparing Haskins and Murray, because both those quarterbacks come in with really bad defenses, and it's up to the quarterback themselves to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand it either. But we're gonna jump into our next segment, which is we're gonna talk about some NFL. Tonight's game, the Redskins against the Eagles. Any thoughts on that, Floyd?
It should be an easy win for the Eagles. Yeah. The Redskins have not looked convincing at all in their last couple of games. And the Eagles, they're not the best either. They really aren't. They're probably like one of the most boring teams to watch, especially after winning the Super Bowl last season. But they have a chance to make the playoffs because the Redskins are slipping from the top spot in their conference.
Yeah, and then the Cowboys beat the Saints. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that really is, because I feel like it has exposed the weaknesses of the Saints, and it shows that the Saints didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to handle being shut down like that.
Yeah, And, I mean, with, like you said, they've been exposed. Like, some of their weaknesses have been exposed. So, could potentially make it a little easier for other teams to kind of come in there and expose those weaknesses as well.
All it takes is the first team to set the precinct. And that's what I think the Cowboys came out and did, is that they showed how to stop Drew Brees.
The Ravens beat the Falcons, which is good for the Ravens because also the Bengals lost to the Broncos. So the Ravens potentially have a chance to get into the playoffs now that they got another win and the Bengals dropped another loss.
The Ravens have the last wild card spot right now, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that's accurate.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is because I looked at this beforehand. The Bengals, though, if they somehow made the playoffs, I'd be surprised. They're not good.
Yeah. The Rams beat the Lions.
Not really surprised there.
The Cardinals beat the Packers.
I'm somewhat surprised because the Packers have not been playing the best football. They fired their head coach.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to talk about next is the Packers fired their head coach, Mike McCarthy, and people are saying that he's a pretty good possible candidate for the Browns. What would you think about that, Floyd, seeing as you and I are both Browns fans? Mike McCarthy become the Browns head coach.
I mean, he does not have the most impressive record as the Green Bay's head coach. He's like 11-16. Like, I feel that they'd be bringing in another coach that couldn't coach them out of the hole they're in.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that, but I also think that he's probably better than Hugh Jackson was. And, I mean, the Browns right now, I mean, they're not playing horrible football. And what's that look for?
Did you not watch the Texans game?
I watched the Texas game. You know, but they also had four turnovers as a team. That doesn't help it, you know. That's not on the coaching. That's on the players not being able to, you know, that's on Johnny Manziel. What the heck? That's the years past.
You do realize they coach players how to hold on to the football, right?
Okay. Yes, Floyd, I get that. But I'm anyway, and then anyway, we'll talk about more games now since you're going to shut down my ideas. The Dolphins beat the Bills. Neither of those teams are like super good or super bad.
It was a good game to watch because they're both on even playing field when it comes to skill level. So
that's true, yeah.
It's not a surprise that the Dolphins won, but I felt like either team could have came away with the win.
And then the Giants beat the Bears.
Now, this was a shocker when I saw the final score. I cannot believe the Giants beat the Bears. The Giants have not played good football all year. The Bears were red hot and moving up in the world. And I couldn't believe they won.
Yeah, it was definitely a big victory for the Giants. And to wrap out some of the games for the NFL, the Buccaneers beat the Panthers 24-17. The Jags beat the Colts 6-0, which is, yeah, ironic, really funny, too, because the Jags are bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the Colts aren't super good, but
They should have been able to score at least a touchdown.
Yeah, or kick a field goal. Then again, the Texans beat the Browns. The Titans beat the Jets 26-22. The Chiefs topped over the Raiders 40-33. The Patriots beat the Vikings by a score of 24-10. The Seahawks crushed the 49ers 43-16. And to wrap out the NFL games for this weekend, the Chargers beat the Steelers only by a field goal. And to talk about the Chargers-Steelers game, Floyd, you know, there was a call in there that...
You mean a no-call?
Well, yeah, a no-call in there that I think we need to have a discussion about. In case you guys haven't seen it out there, during the Chargers game, there was a no call against a obvious false start against the Chargers offense, and I mean the guy took two full steps backwards, and no flag was thrown. And people are saying that's the reason the Steelers lost, because that drive led to a touchdown. And for you Browns fans out there, you probably remember something about this, because the same exact thing happened against the Browns and the Chargers. The Browns could have potentially won that game, but an false start wasn't called against the Chargers, and they scored on that drive. Wow, Floyd. How does this happen twice in 1 year?
Hey, we say that the Patriots are always cheating. It looks like the Chargers are throwing some money under the table to the refs.
Yeah, it definitely looks like that.
Because that, like, I don't understand how you can be that like, I have really bad eyesight, and I could tell that was an obvious false start. And that's just bad officiating, and it makes it look like that the refs are favoring teams.
Yeah, it definitely looks like that, and you know, it definitely looks bad on the Chargers' part that it's happened both times to them. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that the Chargers are paying the refs or anything, but it definitely looks
It was a joke
when it happens twice to the same team in the same season.
Yeah, to two teams from the same conference.
Yeah, it definitely looks pretty bad on the Chargers' part. I don't know
how to continue the conversation on this, because it's just
ridiculous that it even happened.
Yeah,
once.
It's really blatant that the refs missed something there, and like there should be some reparations to the ref.
Yeah,
to the refs for that, because there's no reason that shouldn't have been called.
Yeah, that's for sure. We're gonna take a short break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit about basketball, and then jump into the Bluffton Beavers sports. You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Sanger.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
I'm in the car next to you on the highway, heading to work. I sit in front of you on the bus. I work in the office down the hall and stand next to you in the elevator. We've known each other for years. Of all the things you know about me, here's one you don't. I'm one out of every six Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an incurable disease. It's not an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. This is a problem with a solution. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit. I'm James Hudson, joined in the studio with Floyd Krajovic. And in case you missed our first segment, we were talking college football. And to add a little bit to the football, because we missed this, the Kareem Hunt story. Floyd, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about that? Because you know a little bit more about it than I do.
So, Kareem Hunt, during the offseason, he was at a hotel or something, and he got caught on video shoving and kicking a woman. And it has been reported of recent that he was lied to the Kansas City Chiefs about what happened, and he has now been terminated from the Chiefs roster.
Yeah, that's definitely a big deal for the Chiefs. You know, he played a little bit this season, didn't he? Okay, I couldn't remember if he was on like leave from what happened or what.
No, he's been playing.
Do you think any other team's going to try to pick him up in the offseason?
No, this is another Rice situation.
Yeah.
Because he is caught on video blatantly pushing and kicking this woman. And there was an article saying, don't praise the Chiefs, don't praise the NFL for what they did because they botched this, because they say he shouldn't have played at all. And I would happen to agree with that. Like, I don't know if he was drunk or what was going through his mind at that time, but he's caught on video blatantly doing these acts. There's like no getting around it for him.
Yeah, it's definitely true. All right, jumping into our next segment, basketball. You know, we don't talk much about basketball, but we're going to talk a little bit about Ohio State's basketball team. They're playing pretty well, Floyd. I mean, they like you said before the show started, yes, they lost to Syracuse. I know. But they also won 7 straight, which, okay.
They didn't win seven straight. They won 6 straight, lost, then they beat Minnesota.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 7 straight.
Wait, then why is their record 7-1?
I don't know. Unless that's just not an updated record, because right there, well, I mean, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They lost to Syracuse, and then they beat Minnesota.
That's
a good question.
Okay, well, hooray for Ohio State not updating their thing or making it blatantly obvious that that was an expedition match.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, Ohio State's playing pretty well right now.
Yeah, when do you ever talk about Ohio State's basketball team?
Yeah, not very often. That's true.
Like, they'll get into March Madness at a really low seed, and they'll win the first round and lose in the second, but this is like the first year they've started off really well.
Yeah, and I mean, starting January 5th, they'll be playing their conference play, you know, Michigan State, Rutgers, Iowa, Maryland. So I think those will be more of bigger games for Ohio State.
Yeah, the Big Ten, they got a few powerhouses that are actually good in basketball, not football, who we meme at.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we'll talk about the NBA now, which we don't do often either, but the Bulls fired head coach Fred Hoiberg and promote Jim Boylan to head coach, which is, I mean, a big deal because the Bulls have not been playing very well, and they look to kind of start to rebuild their team. What do you think about that, Floyd?
If you're a coach and your team sucks, you better watch out because you're on the hot seat.
Yeah, really.
Because that's been the story of this year in all sports. If your team is not playing well, you better be afraid for your job.
Yeah, we've seen it. We saw it in the NFL with the Green Bay head coach. Cleveland's head coach.
Finally getting rid of him again.
Woo, yeah. I mean, hopefully they don't hire him back for a third time. That'd just be a bad mistake on the Browns' part. Even though he's probably a cheap head coach.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you pay for what you get, right?
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, didn't the Cavs fire their head coach, too?
Oh, yeah, Tyronn Lue. Yeah. They did that a while ago, but yeah, I guess they did fire him.
Like, it's the year of firing your head coach if you're playing bad, so.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, do you think firing the head coach solves all problems?
Some teams, yes. Other teams, no. For the Cavs,
Cavs are just bad.
Yeah, it won't solve their problems. For the Bulls, it might.
Yeah.
But
I think for the Browns, it probably will also, because the Browns have a lot of talent.
Yeah, like the way the Browns have played since Hugh Jackson has left, they look a lot better. They look like they should have won a lot more games than they should have.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's just, if you are a head coach, make sure your team's playing well.
And if they're not, you better watch your back, because you might get canned.
Yep, without a second thought.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're going to take another short break. When we come back, we'll talk about Bluffton Beaver Sports. You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Are ye plagued by foreclosure? Well, here at Jim, Lad, and Matey, we can stop your foreclosure now. We're a mortgage rescue company, and for the small fee of everything you hold dear, we will negotiate with your lender on your behalf. Call Jim, Lad, and Matey at 1-800-YAR-YAR. That's 1-800-YAR-YAR-YAR.
If you're facing foreclosure, talk to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
And we're back here with the Beaver Dam, 96.1 The Wit. I am James Hudson, joined alongside Floyd Krajovic. We've been talking a lot about sports, and right now we're gonna start talking about some Bluffton Beaver sports. And the Bluffton Beaver University track and field team kicked off their 2018-19 season with several great performances at the Tiffin Alumni Open on Saturday, December 1st. The ladies' side, junior Tori Bowen, she began her conference title defense in the pole vault with a second-place finish at the season opener, clearing 3.42 meters. The distance runners also put up some solid performances as they switched from grass to track, led by sophomore Bailey Barrington, who grabbed a pair of top 10 finishes. Barrington started her day with a fifth place showing in the 1 mile run with a time of 5 minutes and 38 seconds, and followed that up with a seventh place mark in the 800 meter run with a time of 2 minutes and 33 seconds. Senior Tammy Groff also placed just behind Barrington in the 1 mile run with a time of 6 minutes and 6 seconds. Bluffton had 5 of the 12 runners in the 3,000-meter run, led by junior Alexis Cash, who placed 5th with a time of 10 minutes and 58 seconds. Senior Jenny Mattson and sophomore Kimberly Hetrick, I believe that's how it's pronounced, also topped with a top 10 finish, going 8th, 9th, respectively. On the men's side, junior Connor Gullick highlighted a day with his third place finish in the 800 meter run, finishing in a time of 2 minutes and 2 seconds, just a few tenths of his current career best. Sorry about that. Freshman Austin Henderson added a second place finish in the 1,000 meter run with a time of 2 minutes and 59 seconds. In the 3,000 meter run, junior Dakota Frost and senior Jonah Eckert, I think that's how it's pronounced. Sorry, I'm messing up these names probably. If you're listening, I'm sorry I messed up your name. They continued their cross-country success with a solid performance by placing 3rd and 4th with times of 9 minutes and 31 seconds and 9 minutes and 43 seconds, respectively. Sophomore Dontari Johnson led the sprint squad by placing 44th out of a 66-man run in the 60-meter dash with a time of 7 minutes and 40 seconds. While placing 16th out of 49 runners in the 200-meter dash with a time of 23 minutes 91 seconds. The first day of the track wrapped up with the 4x400-meter relay. Freshman Brandon James, William Bakeman, and Hernandez, teamed up with Gullick. The junior anchored the race and made a big comeback, falling just short of winning the heat as the men's relay finished 5th overall with a time of 3 minutes and 43 seconds. Junior John Jones led the way with the field events, placing 28th out of 42 athletes in the shot put with the best toss of 11.98 meters. The Beavers will take a break through the holidays before returning to action Saturday, January 12th at the Findlay Open. It sounds like the Beavers track team is doing pretty good, Floyd.
Yeah, for the first meet, it sounds like they're all hitting their strides. They don't feel like it doesn't feel like that they're playing catch up with like their conditioning and stuff. It feels like that they came out, they hit where they should be. My boy Bones Jones there placing high in the shot put. So good to hear that he's doing well.
Yeah, definitely sounds like the track and field team's doing pretty well. Now to talk about Bluffton basketball. The Bluffton University men's basketball team lost a nail-biter to Transylvania 65-62 on Saturday, with three Beavers notching double digits. Even though Bluffton led 60-53 with just over 4 minutes to play, the Pioneers allowed just 2 points the rest of the way for their third win of the season. Bluffton stands 4-2 overall and 0-1 in the Heartland Conference. The Beavers were up by 2, 36-34 at the half, and they were looking to keep their foot on the pedal to try to seal a win on the road against a very good Pioneer team, might I add. With the Bluffton offense sputtering, they fell behind 46-43 with 12 minutes and 33 seconds left to play. They finally regained the lead at the 7:20 mark following a Jamel Crosby layup, putting the Beavers up 51-50. Unfortunately, it was too little too late for the Beavers, as added up to a 65-62 Transylvania victory in an HCAC opener for both teams. Bluffton took an early 13-8 lead thanks to an Andrew Renner layup with 15 minutes and 18 seconds left in the first half. The Beavers controlled the action, pushing the spread to 7 when sophomore Aaron Rich hit a jump shot that made the score 28-21 late in the first. Transylvania used a 13-4 run over the final 5 minutes of the first half to pull within 2 at the break. Renner led the way for the Beavers, dropping 18 points on 17 of 16 from the field, including 4 of 7 behind the arc. He also pulled down a game-high 8 rebounds. Rich netted 13 points and pulled down 6 rebounds. Junior Isaiah Taylor went for 8 points and 8 rebounds, while sophomore Desmond Brown chipped in with 7 points and 7 rebounds. Cosby added 11 points for the Beavers as well. The men's team will be back in action on Wednesday, December 5th, when they travel to Earlham College for an HCAC clash. The matchup is slated to tip off at 7:30 in Richmond, Indiana. So, I mean, it sounds like the men's team, although they lost to Transylvania, they've been doing pretty well. And, you know, Ty told me that the men's team was slated to finish really low in the HCAC. And, I mean, they're not doing too bad right now. I mean, they're 0-1, but that sits them at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This sits them at 6th place in the HCAC, so, and they've only played one conference game, so that's not too bad.
No, and Transylvania, they don't have a football team, so they don't sit there and recruit like players for that. I always figure Transylvania is more of a basketball school,
yeah,
track and field school myself. Yeah. So the fact that the men's team came in and almost pulled out the win is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, usually, I mean, my high school, they played a couple teams who didn't have a football team, and, you know, you could tell because their basketball teams were just ridiculously good. And so it's definitely a big deal that Bluffton's team was able to hang on to a team that doesn't have football, you know, when their main sport's more than likely basketball.
Yeah.
To talk about the women's game, they also competed against Transylvania, but they were defeated by Transylvania 74-38 on Saturday. The loss dropped the Beavers to 1-5 on the season and 0-1 in the HCAC, while Transylvania improved to 4-1 overall and 1-0 in the conference. Both teams got off to a sluggish start from the field as the Pioneers held a 10-5 lead with 2 minutes left in the first quarter. Transylvania picked up the pace as the home team went on a 7-0 run to make the score 17-5 at the end of the period. The scoring picked up for both teams as the Beavers put up 17 points in the second quarter, while the Pioneers went for 20. Sophomore Brock netted 5 points in the period, helping to contribute value minutes off the bench for the Beavers, who trailed 37-22 at the halftime break. The third quarter was a struggle for the Beavers as they managed just 6 points thanks to 6 turnovers in the period. Bluffton trailed 56-28 at the end of three. Transylvania capped off its dominating 74-38 victory with an 18-10 advantage in the fourth quarter. The Beavers were led by freshman guard Brianna Gillig, who scored 9 points while going 4-for-4 from the charity stripe. Other contributors for the Beavers included Brock and Brianna Graham, who both scored 7 points. The Pioneers had 3 ladies reaching double digits. Kristen Hayes led the way with 13 points. Shelby Boyle scored 12 in the game while going 5-for-6 from the free throw line. And Taylor Jackson also added 12 points, going 5-for-5 from the field. Zenova Walker led the Pioneers in rebounds with 9 and also had 5 assists. The visitors shot 28.9% for the game, going 13 of 45. The Pioneers went 26 of 56 from the field, making 46.4% of their shots. Bluffton struggled from the three-point line as well, and were 5 for 18. Transylvania was outstanding from the distance, connecting on 11 for 20 for 55%. The Pioneers out-rebounded the Beavers 37 to 24 and handed out 11 more assists than the Beavers did as well. Bluffton will get a chance for its first conference win of the season this Wednesday, December 5th, when the women take on Earlham College in the Summer Center at 7:30. Come out and support the Beavers. If you cannot come out to the game, make sure you tune in right here on 96.1 The Wit at 7 o'clock, while Trent Mast and Ty Avila will have the pre... Or no, sorry, Trent Mast and myself, James Hudson, will have the pregame show, and then we'll stick around, and Ty Avila and Floyd Gerdrovic here in the studio with me will have the live play-by-play action. Sorry, I just didn't know what to say there. So, you know, like we said, the men's team not doing too bad, but the women's team, they're struggling, Floyd.
Yeah, they just can't, like I said, I think they're just struggling to find an identity, who they are, what their play style is. I really can't speak too much on them because I haven't watched a lot of their games. I've only seen one, and they looked fairly decent in it, but they just played a superior team in this previous game, and I just feel that it might look grim right now, but I feel that it's still early in the season. It's their first game, and it was against a really good football team.
You almost said football team. Whoops.
Yeah, that'd be bad if that was a football team. That 11-on-5.
That'd be rough.
They played a really good basketball team. They tried their hardest, and I feel that they'll pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a couple of the girls' games, and they really haven't played that bad. But like you said, they just played a really good basketball team this week. And, you know, they shouldn't have their heads down, because, you know, when you play a good team and you get beat by a good team, it should really make you better, make you want to strive to be that, just like that team, and be just as good.
Yeah, I mean, when you lose to a good team, it makes you, it shows you what your weaknesses are.
Yeah.
And it shows you what you're good at. And I feel like this could be a valuable learning experience for the women's team.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. That wraps up the Beaver sports. And Floyd, we have a little extra time. How about we talk about the uniforms? I know you were talking about the Army uniforms, right?
Yeah. So if you have not looked at the Army Black Knights, they are the Army Academy for our military forces. They play Navy on December 8th. The Army Navy game. It is a huge rivalry. I am an Army brat because my dad is ex-military, so I always love watching Army. I love watching the Army Navy game, and it's a different feeling when you go and watch it, because here's a little spoiler alert, people. Our armed forces don't like each other. Army and Navy hate each other. Army, Air Force, Navy, Air Force, they all hate each other. But in the field, they love each other. They'll have each other's backs. But they got this unspoken rivalry that only like the branches know about. But if you have not seen Army's uniforms for the game this weekend, they are honoring the Big Red One from World War One, and they just look, it's a nice black and red uniform. It is a really nice uniform, and I'm like, how can our armed forces come up with such great uniform designs all the time? And it's just, check out the game. It's an experience you won't want to miss, because the fans are all dressed in their I don't know what uniform, required uniforms. Like, yeah. The Navy guys are in their Navy uniforms. The Army guys are in their Army military uniforms. And it's just, it's a really good game. It reminds me of the Ohio State-Michigan game.
Yeah, and also, as you bring up Ohio State, you know, I told you before the show started that I really wish Ohio State would do a cool gray uniform. You know, in the past, they've had, like, an all-gray uniform, but I really wish they'd do a, you know, like, a gray, like, their colors, and then have, like, red on it, and wear, like, a shiny red helmet.
Yeah.
And I think that would look really good. You know, like I showed you that shiny red helmet that has like some transparent drawings in the background. You could put like the Buckeye leaf in there. I think it just looked really good and it'd give a little change of scenery for the Buckeyes.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a pretty lit idea for it. I like the idea. I mean, I liked what the helmet looked like. I liked the idea behind the uniform. It was just a really nice idea.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to add, Floyd?
Go Army!
All right, well, that wraps up this episode of The Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Friday. Check out previous podcasts, searching and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play, the WIT 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been James Hudson, joined along with Floyd Kurjovic, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beavs.